Torrey Way, North West London, Wednesday the 10th of September, Tesvov Elul, Rabbi David Eisenberg, Tekiah Strofer.
Good morning, Rabbi Sai. Good morning. I'd like to start with a joke I heard yesterday, but made me think sort of about coming back. There's a fellow bumped into his friend, looking pretty down. So he says to him, Chatzkel, what happened? Oh gosh, that's a Chatzkel here. Sorry. Sorry, I tried to use it, you know? Okay, Gimple. Gimple, what happened? There's always one of them in the crowd. They say, Gimple, what happened? You look so terrible. He goes, I haven't seen you in ages, but you look terrible. He goes, yeah, you know, Nebuch, I got divorced yesterday. He goes, I didn't even know you got married. Mazel tov. You know? I've not been here in such a long time that, you know, this whole beautiful Aron Kodesh, Mitzvahim and everything, you know, every time I come, I give it about 6 to 9 months break. So every time I come, this Beis Medrash looks bigger and looks nicer and gets upgraded. Mitz Hashem, the next upgrade should be that we should move to Yerushalayim, Yerkosh, Meher, Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm finished. Thank you. Yeah. Now, people often remember what I have to say, or not so much what I had to say, but what I spoke about, because in the past, two reasons. One is because I'm usually here very rarely. I don't come that often, not because I dislike London, there's just not much for me to be doing. I got plenty of work up in Manchester, and people remember what I have to say. I can't remember what I have to say. You know, people come over to me, thank me for what I said. I said, when did I speak? You know, I can't even work out where I'm up to. Because, you know, was it yesterday, was it the day before? And the other thing is because we have real halacha lemaisa situations. Last few times we spoke about, I think if people remember the story of the kayin, you remember the story of the two rings here, say somebody remember the two rings. They do come up, these shalas, once in a while. They're not that frequent. You know, it's not Dain Dunner's house, but Lemaisa, I did have a recent Shaila, but I figured it dealt with Khrushchevka, and I thought this was sort of not the right format to be discussing that, so we moved on from that, and we're going to discuss Tekiah Strofer instead. Khrushchevka is a form of infertility having to do with deformations of the male Evarim. We'll leave it at that. So we're not going to discuss that today. But with Rosh Hashanah coming up, I want to discuss a few pertinent shailas in Tekiah Strofer. One of the shailas people always ask, should you make another bracha, or should you not make another bracha, when it comes to blowing shofar again for other people? Do you make another bracha or not? So, this is a shaila that can be asked by men. Same shaila can ask for women as well. So, and this is a general shaila. The shaila comes up many times. The shaila can come up by men, for all sorts of mitzvahs, by mitzvah Kriyas Megillah, can come up for Kiddush, and come up for a lot of things. Can you make a bracha for somebody else? Can you not make a bracha for somebody else? And the same shaila comes up for women. So, by a man, there's what we say, there's a halacha called arvus. Arvus means, the way I remember being explained to me, that kol yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. And that kol yisrael arevim zeh lazeh means that my mitzvah is not complete unless your mitzvah has been done as well. Meaning to say that in my mitzvah, let's say I made Kiddush and somebody else didn't make Kiddush yet, in my mitzvah there's a chisar and there's something missing in my mitzvah because you haven't made Kiddush yet. You make Kiddush, it's mashle my mitzvah as well. That's the arvus. That's sort of the way our ravens are there, that we all sort of interconnected and all of our mitzvahs are connected and have a shaychus to each other. That's called Yisrael our ravens are there. Therefore, by men, from one to another, there's a halacha of arvus. Of course, you can make a bracha for another man. Recently, I had a shaila like this came up from learning psachim in my shul. So sort of a strange shaila that, you know, maybe Rabbi Hakenbruch can understand these kind of shailas. Imagine you invited somebody for Shabbos lunch. Now, you know this fellow, he doesn't eat a Friday night meal. You have somebody who's very, very light, not from at all, and you invite them for Shabbos lunch. You know last night they didn't have a Shabbos meal. The halacha is, when you make Kiddush, if you didn't make Kiddush at night with the bracha of Kiddush, because at night we make a real Kiddush, at night you're being mekadesh Shabbos, make a bracha. You speak about Shabbos the greatness of Shabbos, the great gift of Shabbos. So you make a bracha on Kiddush. Shabbos day, it's only called Kiddush Rabba. Be'etzem Shabbos day, what's the real mitzvah of Shabbos day to make Kiddush? Only Agofen. People make the mistake, they think that, you know, if you leave out Roshomru, you've messed up your Kiddush. It's not true. The bracha is only Agofen. You start the Suda in a different oifen than you do with Agofen, or for those of us who make on Shnaps, Kibisha Akel, and that's all you need to do. You don't make a bracha on Kiddush. You're not making a bracha on the actual Shabbos. You're just starting your Suda differently with a cup of wine. So, now, I have made Kiddush already the night before. Proper Kiddush. This person whom I've invited to my house has not made Kiddush yet. And chances are, if I were to ask them to make Kiddush, they wouldn't know how to make Kiddush. Can I, or maybe should I, be making the full Kiddush again Shabbos day for my entire family? To be moitzi these people who are at my table who have not made Kiddush last night. And if I don't make this Kiddush now, they're going to miss out on the mitzvah of Kiddush for the entire Shabbos. Or should I not?
Why not?
Good question, why not? I don't know. Pardon? I know, but what's good? It's sort of when I asked the Shiloh if you're a Bonham in Manchester, they saw they made a face of like, never thought of that. I said, yeah, Rabbi Yashiv used to say that things were boring until the tshuva movement came around. Because there's always the same Shiloh, except I didn't say Mashiach Ruach Mer Hageshem, I left it out. And then suddenly these Shilohs started pouring in that came from nowhere. They were like, they're very, very interesting shayas where you have to start playing around with them. So you're right, I don't know why not. Interesting, one Rav said to me, he says, yeah, halacha v'loy l'maisa. I don't know why he was hesitant about it. I'm sorry?
The obligation of the Kiddush not on Friday night.
No, so the halacha is that if you didn't make Kiddush on Friday night for whatever reason, let's say somebody was ill, he got ill Friday afternoon, went to bed, woke up Shabbos morning, the halacha is you have to make a full Kiddush Shabbos morning. The Kiddush is a mitzvah whole day. Abadi should make the Kiddush on Friday night first. But if you didn't make Kiddush on Friday night, you should make the Kiddush Shabbos day. So this person is Mechoyev Kiddush Shabbos day. There's no question about it. He's Mechoyev and Kiddush. Pardon? I don't know if it's Tashlumin. Yeah. No, but for this fellow, it's not Tashlumin. Because his mitzvah is a whole day. It's to make... So my avos is on his mitzvah. So you can be powerful back and forth. It's sort of an interesting shaila. But lemaisa, if you ever stuck in such a situation, ledaiti, if you went ahead and you make kiddush, it wouldn't be a bad idea. Rabbi Yanki holds that you should be making kiddush because you at least be moitzi this fellow in kiddush. At least this week he'll be yoitz his mitzvah of kiddush. You won't only have kiddush rabba, have a proper kiddush. Okay, you can be powerful about it back and forth. But in general, there's a halacha called avos, and you can make kiddush. You can make a bracha on somebody else's behalf. By noshim, in specific cases, becomes very complicated. So if, let's say, you have a mitzvah of kiddush, by kiddush, the mechuyev, zachar v'shamar, the mitzvah we say zachar v'shamar, that anybody who is mechuyev and shamar is mechuyev and zachar, and therefore, the same way women are mechuyev in all negative mitzvahs having to do with Shabbos, the mechuyev in all positive mitzvahs having to do with Shabbos as well, as much as a man. So much so, we know the famous Rabbi Kiv Egas Kasha, that the husband has already davened in shul, and therefore he said already Kiddush. He's already said by chula, whatever else it is, he said some form of Kiddush. The wife has not said anything yet, because she didn't go, assuming not newly married, she didn't go to daven in shul. So that leaves you really with the husband having only a chiyuv derabbanan, and the wife having a chiyuv deraisa. Why is the husband being married to the wife? Really, the husband should come home, and the wife should make Kiddush. Because her chiyuv is greater than his chiyuv. That's what Kivegas Kasha. He says an unbelievable text. One of the instructions that he says, it says when you say good Shabbos, saying good Shabbos is also considered a form of Kiddush, and therefore it brings her down from a Daraisa to Rabbanan, you're back on the same level, the husband can be moitzi his wife. If your wife's not saying good Shabbos to you when you come home, Kiddush is the least of your issues. No? So, you can be moitzi a woman, but what happens in cases of mitzvah tasei shazman grumba? What happens if you have mitzvah tasei where it's a time-bound mitzvah? For example, tkiyah shofar. Tkiyah shofar is a mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah only. So now it's Rosh Hashanah. She wants to blow shofar. So as bechlal shaila, is she allowed to blow shofar? Or can you blow shofar for her? Maybe it's muktzah. Who says? It's not a mitzvah for her. So who says that she says, but I want to hear shofar anyway? Who say to her, you want to hear shofar anyway, so you want somebody to do an iser on Yom Tov, to blow in shofar extra for her who's not mechuyev in a mitzvah? So now we say, no, there's a bit of a mitzvah for there, so even though it's a shvus, there's still women allowed to hear tekiyah shofar. You're allowed to blow for them specifically. If you're blowing for yourself, then for sure it's not a problem, and they're listening in. But let's say a woman has asked you specifically to blow for her, you might have a shayla to say that it'd be also to blow a shofar for them. Say, shem mefosh mishabura, no, you are allowed to blow shofar. V'lo yamrina, this is mishabura, if you want to look it up, it's in Tov, Kuf, Pei, Tes, if cotton Tes. V'lo yamrina, we don't say, dikim shu atzmei in etzarech, atal eskoye, su oive mishum shvus. It's a shvus, kishetai, kekeh, mishvilam, kwa mokim, ktsas, yesh, mitzvah, yesh, lohen, mitkiyosim, there's still a bit of a mitzvah for them as well. That's not mitzvah v'oisa, they're not commander, but they still want to blow shofar, that's all right. Now, if they're going to go ahead and want to blow shofar, the next question then becomes, are they allowed to make a bracha or not? And this is not a question that's a localized question only by shofar, but for any mitzvah sasesha asman groma, sukkah, lulav, any other mitzvah you want to mention like that, you'll always have the shayla, should a woman, or is, not should a woman, or is a woman allowed to make a bracha on this mitzvah or not? What's the problem making a bracha on the mitzvah? The problem of the bracha on the mitzvah is Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvaysov vetzivonu. Vetzivonu means he commanded us. Rosh Baruch Hu never commanded you to put on tzitzis. He never commanded you to go in the sukkah or to blow shofar or anything else. How could you say vetzivonu on a bracha that's not yours? And a mitzvah that's not yours. Therefore, Shulchan Aruch holds, and this is Shita Shulchan Aruch all around, whenever it comes to mitzvah sasei shazman groma, that women cannot make a bracha on a mitzvah sasei shazman groma. And by the Sfarim, Achayv Nei Sfarad, they are knowing not to make a bracha on any mitzvah sasei shazman groma for a woman, because Shita Shulchan Aruch is that you don't make a bracha on it. However, Ramah says that the minhag, the shanoshim avarchas on mitzvah sasei shazman groma. He holds us here, he holds us by sukkah. Women are allowed to make a bracha on a mitzvah sasei shazman groma, and therefore they can go ahead and they can make a bracha. Now, you've been yotzei your mitzvah already. So he said, if you were yotzei your mitzvah, let's say you come home and you want to blow shofar. So let's say you had somebody who was unwell, a man who was unwell who was at home, you've already been yotzei your mitzvah, shofar and shul, now you're coming home to blow for this fellow who was unwell at home. You're allowed to make a bracha for him or not? What did we say? Yes. Midin what? Midin arms. If he wants to make a bracha, of course he's also allowed to make a bracha. What about a woman? So now it's different, because now you're turning around and you're saying, this woman, is she be'etze mechuyev in the mitzvah? No. Why is she making a bracha? She's making a bracha because she wanted to be mechayev herself in mitzvah. She wanted to go ahead and take that mitzvah and say, nevertheless, even though I'm not mechuyev in this mitzvah, I will do it anyway. And then you have a whole shayla, she's allowed to make a bracha or not, but the Ramah says, yeah, she, even on a minute, she's allowed to go ahead and she's allowed to make a bracha. We passing you can make a bracha on a minik as well. When does that happen? When we make a bracha on a minik? Halal Hashchodesh. Yeah? Halal Hashchodesh is a question of minik. And it depends. Some people, if you're not betziva, if you're the Sfarim, if you're not betziva, you don't make a bracha on Halal Hashchodesh. We make a bracha on the minik of Halal all the time. Yeah? Shailan Tosis. So now this woman is only mimikayim, not really a mitzvah for her. And she's allowed to make a bracha only because she's mechayev herself in a bracha. But is there a din arvus as much that a man can now go ahead and make a bracha for a woman? So the Shulchan Aruch says there, the Ramah says no. Even though the woman is allowed to make a bracha for herself, but she's not allowed, or somebody who has already been yotze his mitzvah is not allowed to make a bracha now for this woman. And therefore, if somebody comes home from shul, he's already been yotzei his mitzvah of kiyah shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and he comes home and his wife says, now will you blow shofar for me? So then the halacha will be that who makes the bracha? The wife makes the bracha. Now, the other hand, the same thing, if you have these big, kiyah shofar for noshim, whatever it is, there'll be one of the women will be designated to make the bracha on behalf of everybody else, and the fellow will not make the bracha, unless, Mishnah Berurah mentions over here, just unless, and that's, I don't know if people want to go down this route or not, but unless the fellow, when he hears a shofar and shul, specifically asks Kavana not to be yotzei, in Cain, when he heard the shofar and shul, he wasn't yotzei. If he heard the shofar and shul, he wasn't yotzei, he comes home, he's still mechuyev in a mitzvah, then he can make a bracha. Like you said, it's not the greatest way of going about things. The truth is, it'll be interesting, because there is a Mogen Avraham that I saw recently in Hilchas Lulav that seems to sort of have a shaila if a person can mechlal say he doesn't want to be yotzei. Does that work? Because, when it comes to Oivalas Yosson, and by Lulav, there's this whole shayla. How do you go about making a bracha on a Lulav and let it still be Oivalas Yosson? As soon as the Gemara says, as soon as you picked it up, you're ready to yotze mitzvah of Lulav. So you picked it up, you had some mitzvah a little, now you want to make a bracha on the mitzvah, it's too late. So we have three ways of doing things. Number one, you turn the asterisk upside down. That seems to be what's the most prevalent minhag that I've seen. Number two, you leave the asterisk on the table. You leave the asterisk on the table. Those are the two that are brought in Shulchan Aruch. The third one that you just said is actually not brought in Shulchan Aruch, even though it's brought in Tosfos in Sukkah. But the third one is, you have negative kavanah. You have kavanah not to be yotz in the mitzvah when you pick up your abaminim. And since you have kavanah not to be yotz in the mitzvah, then you pick up the abaminim, you weren't yotz until you made the brach. The Gra favors this one. The Gra favors this third opinion, even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it, and the Taz gives reason, and the Mogen Avraham gives reason why I don't mention it. But if you look at the Mogen Avraham over there, the way the Matzah Sashekel explains the Mogen Avraham, he says the Mogen Avraham holds that if you have Kavanah, where you say, I don't want to be Yotze, since we hold mitzvahs ain't Tzrichas Kavanah, some say, yeah, even though there's no din, I have to have Kavanah by a mitzvah, but if I don't want to be Yotze the mitzvah, then at least I can stop the mitzvah in his tracks and say, I don't want to be Yotze this mitzvah. Mogen Avraham seems to be saying, no, I cannot take my kavanah and say that this mitzvah shouldn't work. Still works. And therefore, you cannot have negative kavanah, in which case this whole case over here with the Ramah to say that maybe, though the Mishnah Berurah mentioned, that you should have kavanah, fakert kavanah, to say that I won't be yotze my mitzvah of sukkah, or my mitzvah of shofar in the shul, and then I'll blow for my wife, but going to Mogen Avraham, it wouldn't work, so I wouldn't recommend it. On top of that, you know, it's probably much better to be Yotze v'Rov Am, and to have the Tekiyas together with the Shemana Esrei. There's enough reasons to say that, and it's not such a big deal. If your wife can make a bracha, let your wife make a bracha, and that's it. Okay, that's as far as this is concerned. Now I wanted to discuss a little bit about the Tekiyas. I'm going to try to make sure that we stay within the time. First of all, discuss how many Tekiyas. What's the minimum amount of tekiyas? I have over here, I have a riddle that I often like to ask. What is the minimum amount of tekiyas that a person can get away with? Okay. Pardon? So most people would say 30, right? That's why. So let's go through it slowly. Okay? The Torah says that the mitzvah of tekiyas shofar, it says true. Pardon?
One.
Three times. It says three times true. The Torah says three times Trua, twice by Rosh Hashanah, once by Yovel, I think that's the way around. By Yom Kippur, Yom Sabbat, Rosh Hashanah says Zichron Trua, and Yom Trua, yeah, as the Mishnah Berurah says, Tov Kuf Tzadis, they've gotten Aleph, so therefore, and glad it's in the Torah as well, you know, they're like the fellow said, he knows from the Ketzai, that Moshe and Aaron were brothers, because the Ketzai says that the Apostle Aedis, yeah. The Torah says three times that there is Trua in Chodesh Tishrei, and we say all the Truas come together, so you have three times Trua. Now it says, once Ma'avatim Shofar Trua, and then Taviru Shofar B'chol Ha'atzachem. It says, Ha'avara Shofar once before the Trua, once after the Trua, which teaches me that each Trua needs to be preceded by a Tekiyah. So therefore, you have a Tekiyah Trua, Tekiyah, Tekiyah Trua, Tekiyah, Trua Trua, Tekiyah. That is together nine Tekiyahs. Nine, so which would be six tekiyas and three truas. That's how much you would have to blow me midaraisa. We have a problem. The problem is we don't know what a trua is. Is a trua a yavava or a trua a yalala? Is a trua short bursts of crying, like the trua? Or is it sort of longer groans that come one after the other, like the shvar? So some say it's the trua only, some say it's the shvarim only, and some say it's shvar and trua together. So therefore, in order to be yotze all the shittas, you have to try each one of them. So you need three times tashrat. No, tashrat, kia, shvan, trua, kia. 3 times 4 is 12. And 3 times tashat and 3 times tarat, which is another 9 and 9 is 18. 18 and 12 gives you 30. So the maisa, how many tekiyas you need to be yotze? You need 30 tekiyas to be yotze, yahalacha of tekiya shofar. However, now here comes sort of the shtick about it. Because we're unsure, so the Shulchan Aruch says, what would happen if you made a long tekiyah? Let's say you blew tekiyah, shvarim, trua, and now you have to blow tekiyah for the end of the last set, but you also have to blow tekiyah for tekiyah, shvarim, tekiyah. You got to blow tekiyah for the next set. So you said to yourself, why should I blow twice? I'll blow one long coil, I got a long breath, I'll blow however long it is, some say 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, depends which rub you ask, how long it will take you, how long you need to sort of make your tekiyah. But you'll blow, so let's say you blow 10 seconds. Then l'kula alma, you blew 10 seconds long, and this way you had a tkiah for the last set, and tkiah for the next set. Are you allowed to do that or not? The answer is no. Why? Because you need a beginning and an ending of a tkiah. You cannot have half a tkiah and half a tkiah. You can't split a tkiah in half. So therefore, if you only heard part of the tkiah, you walked in the middle of a tkiah of the baal tkiah. So even though you heard enough time for this fellow to have blown for you for the shir tkiah, since you didn't hear the beginning of that tkiah, you're not yotze. Yeah? So therefore, he's not allowed to do that. Says, however, in the Shulchan Aruch, what happens if you want to make a tanai? You want to make a tanai, you want to say like this. I don't know which one of the two are correct, but we said before, it's got to be one of the three. It's either tkiah, shvarim, trua, tkiah, or tkiah, shvarim, tkiah, or tkiah, trua, tkiah. Yeah? But they can't all three be right. One of the three is correct, you're just not sure which one of the three is correct. So now, says the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah, that what you can do maybe is, you blow tkiah, shvarim, trua, and then you blow a tkiah. With that tkiah you have in mind, if tkiah, shvarim, trua, tkiah is the main tkiah, it should be the last one of the set that I just did. But if tkiah, shvarim, tkiah is correct, it should be the first one of the next set. And you can do the same thing with trua. So that if you really wanted, and the order is not makiv, you don't have to do three times tkiah, shvarim, trua, tkiah. If you really wanted to, you could be yaitza with tkiah, shvarim, trua, which is three, tkiah, shvarim, tkiah, another three, trua, tkiah, and another two, is eight. Eight times three, 24. So really, if you want to be very, very sticky, you could be yaitza with 24 tkiah. So the mice, I don't think I've ever seen anybody that does 24 tkiahs. It's not the minig. The minig is, do it right. Don't start cutting corners and start, yeah. Some people that try to do it in the most amazing, shtickiest way, they try to see like, look, you can also do this lahalacha. Say that. You've come up with a gishmak alumnus and halacha, minig yishol, Torah, tkiah shvarim trua, tkiah, you do sets of four, and then three sets of four, three sets of three, three sets of three, which gives you 30 tkiahs. Okay. Pardon? Yeah.
It's still in a matzav of sukkah, whether that's key belongs to the last, as if it's a set.
But it's not a set. But klape shemaya galia, they know which one it belongs to. You're saying, Kosh Baruch Hu, you know which one's right. I don't know which one's right. So, Kosh Baruch Hu, you know that either this belongs the first one, or it belongs to the last one. I don't know which one it belongs to, but you'll be mitzarif it to whichever one I needed to do in order to be yotze my halacha, and you're yotze. That's what's brought. The Mishnah Berurah is also not so excited about doing this. He says, we're not noik to do that, but, you know, Lemaitz, if you so wanted to ask somebody a trick question and ask them, what's the minimum amount of tkiahs you can be yotze with? Most people will say 30. The truth is that you could really bring it down to 24. However, the minhag is not to bring it down to 24. Okay. Pardon?
I'm just saying, Bazakir may be chargeless.
But tkiah charging is a different shayla, you know. It's brought in the end of Simon Tov Kuf Pehe. He says, yes, you've got to be very careful. If you're taking schar for tkiahs of Rosh Hashanah, should be careful. Then on top of it, the Mishnah Berurah mentions, Sim and Shin Vav, where you get into the shaila also of, how do you get around the problem of schar Shabbos? How do you get around the problem of being paid for Yemaisa on Shabbos? So whether it's the preparation or other things, but it always gets complicated, because if you're going to say you got paid for the preparation, open out the shayla, let's say somebody prepared leining Er Shabbos, and then he was sick on Shabbos, somebody ate leining on his behalf, and he comes to the gabbai, the shul, he says, okay, pay up. What do you mean pay up? You didn't lein yesterday. He says, you only pay me for preparation, you don't pay me for leining. Yeah? Am I coming back, you know, if you're going to try playing that card, it is a good point. Yeah. Question is if it does go against you or not. I don't know if somebody's going to be actually that much of a, you know, lahachisnik, just to show that, you know, I can get my money even if I didn't lane. So I would hope that the person
if
would
get paid, the whole thing is a farce.
Pardon?
If he doesn't get paid, the whole thing's a farce.
That's true. So I'm not sure how to get around that problem. I'm not really sure. I'd have to speak to somebody. But the maybe they would have to pay him. But I'd have to pay him just to show. It's like wearing the broken watch when the Erev is down. You know, just wearing your broken watch just to show that I'm wearing this watch for adornment purposes and not for the purposes of telling the time. Okay. Reb Dudi asked me just, you know, mamish, in the last minute and a half that I have a lot more to say over here, but I don't like going over time, and I'm sure you don't want me to go over time. So just a mention very briefly, because I knew his father, and you know, he does organize it over here, and I do like to would like to just mention, you know, when we speak about Kiyush Shofar, you're coming closer to Rosh Hashanah. I remember one of the things that I remember very much about Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon Nitzkowitz, Shalom, the man always besimcha. There was a certain happiness within him. That he always, you know, even when his matzav was quite bad, and towards the end the matzav was quite bad, and they knew what the matzav was going to be, nevertheless, he was still someone who was very much besimcha. He had a simcha sachayim, you saw him, you used to see him. I remember seeing him in Machzik Yadas, just probably a month or two before he was nifter. And he came to me and pulled out a picture, says, look at this picture, who do you see on this picture? I said, one of them is you. I said, and who's the other one? I said, oh, that's my father. He says, yeah, we went skiing 30 years together, your father, it was probably 35 years, or 40 years almost ago. When 40 years ago we went skiing somewhere in Switzerland, he had a picture, and he fished it out. I don't know where he found it. He must have fished it out somewhere in his albums, and he brought it up to Zikad Das, not knowing that he would meet me or not me, but to pull it out just to show me, just to give simcha to somebody else. Simcha is sort of a very, very important thing. It's sort of a menuchas ha-nefesh, a very, very important thing, especially as you're coming up to Rosh Hashanah. B'zois ani b'teach, you speak about the bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the fact that, Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, you go in mechapsin u'mistapren on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you go ahead and you take a haircut, and you clean your clothes, etc. on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because there's a certain bitochen. You go in with a certain thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hopefully you'll take care of me. I'm very much b'teach that you'll take care of me, that things will be okay. And that's a very, very important thing about Rosh Hashanah, going into Rosh Hashanah, important attitude to have that we can learn from him, and we can learn for ourselves. Going into Rosh Hashanah with a certain amount of bitachon, going with a certain Rosh Hashanah that, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu's not this angry face in Shemayim looking down at you and saying, oh, just wait till I get through your cheshbon this year. You're really in trouble. Because that's what often we seem to feel about the Baruch Hashanah, is this frowning face in heaven looking down at us and saying, one day I'll get you straight. And I see, if they go into Rosh Hashanah with a bitachon, yes, you know what, last year might not have been as good as it should be. Maybe last year, I didn't do everything. I'm sure I came up short. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavino Shebashamayim, let's try and make amends. Let's try and fix things. Let's try and make things better. This year, at least, I'll try harder. I know if I take out my kabbalas from last year, very often look at the kabbalas, you write them out, you pull them out the year afterwards, it's mamish identical to the piece from the year before. I won't speak Lashon Hara, and I'll try to bench better, and I'll try to daven better, I'll try to make my brachas, and I won't talk to Ingram, and you have all the things, and every year they're the same thing. And every Baruch Hashem says, when is it going to happen? The Maisa, there's a certain amount of simcha that we have to have, a certain amount of bitachon we have to have, and say, okay, you know what? But this year, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm going to try harder, I'm going to put in the extra effort, and I'm going to try as much to be besimcha, and to be besimcha sort of with my mishpacha, not to sort of be down or to be difficult, even on Rosh Hashanah when some people sort of get a little bit too serious and then get a little bit too hard on their family and their family members. Try to keep it besimcha, try to keep it light, and then, you know, habitochen, the Rabbeinu Shalem is going to help us in Yisrael Shema next year. I wish you all a tzivu simetayim, and the Rabbeinu Shalem should give you all a good and a gezunt to you. Amen.